702.
Food feature.
Food feature time, and today we are having a conversation with Hungover Boksburg. Thank you so much to the team member who needs hungover spots that recommended and found the spot in Boksburg. I won't name names. I'll just say thank you to the gentleman. So today we are talking Hungover Boksburg. We're joined by the CEO and cook, Thando Ngwenyama. Thando, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting us.
How are you doing?
I'm good. And you?
Ah, wena. You want our mouths on fire. You know what's tricky? Yeah. And you have to help us know. When we saw the food, we like, this is definitely hungover food, ne?
Yeah.
But now, if we are sober, were we supposed to drink first? Because you didn't, you know, what were we supposed to do first?
No, you can do anything, actually.
Because you hooked us up with the chemere, which is still nice and cold. I'll be sipping on that throughout the show. But I'm like, you know what? If I want to enjoy this food properly later, yeah, I need to get the babalas and then to say, yeah, it works. It's proper hungover food.
Of course.
We in agreement?
Yeah.
I want to find out about your personal story. I mean, we were chatting earlier about the fact that both of us were in Soshanguve at some point, but you're not even from there. Tell us about your background.
Okay. I'm born in Nelspruit, Mbombela, Engotini, Gamaporo. I was born in Temba Hospital. I stayed in Nelspruit up until I was 9. Well, ish, I can't tell you the year now. Everyone will understand. They'll do some calculation.
Yes.
Anyway, my father got a job in Telkom. We moved to Soshanguve.
Yes.
Kodi M. That's where we stayed from there up until today.
Where we were Kodi L. So we were next door.
Just a street. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So I grew up in Pretoria, Kososha. I went to school there, primary Kutula Sizwe. I know you know it.
Yes.
And I started working there, that side, corporate. Then I came to Boksburg.
Yes.
Yeah, I was working for a brewery company. That's when I started to, you know, start doing other things outside of work. I've always loved cooking. I've always loved food, being in the kitchen.
So when you were younger, growing up, Nelspruit,
yes,
who was in the house that was making you love the idea of cooking?
Look, so there's a time when I stay Gaba Blomkhulu.
Yes.
It's uncle in English, right? There's no big father, there's no big father. There's no big father.
Yes,
yeah.
It's the elder brother of the father.
Yes.
Keramohol.
Yes, Keramohol. But yes, in English then you made it sound so long. You see?
In English you don't differentiate what an
everyone
uncle is.
Uncle.
Yes, young exactly. Old. Yeah. Yes.
So when we're staying at my uncle's, everyone was there. Cousins. It was a big house with a lot of us there. We had a lot of sisters. Sis Jean, Sis Tabby. So, you know, they were always cooking, Sis Doris. And, you know, whenever they were cooking, I would stand there and look at them. And they'd say, "Taste this. Is it nice?" "Yeah, it's nice." "Okay." Then they cook.
Yes.
Then slowly I love being in the kitchen.
Yes.
But the real love, I think it came when we went to Soshanguve. It was me, my father and my brother and my mother when we moved to Pretoria.
Yes.
Now remember, everyone is not there now. We don't know anyone now in Pretoria. It's only the four of us. And that was before my younger sister came, because we left her behind. So now mommy used to cook. Whenever she's cooking, I'm there in the kitchen. Then she showed me how to make rice.
Yes.
She showed me how to make. And rice was the first thing I cooked. It was so easy. And I was so impressed.
And you know how many people mess up rice?
I
you can't say it's easy. Rice is not easy for everybody.
Okay, she made it so easy, you know?
Yes.
So yeah, then I started loving cooking from there, being in the kitchen. I was almost like a matande kitchen in
yes,
a way, you know?
Yes.
Then I started cleaning. You know, then I started spring cleaning. Then every time I'd find myself in the kitchen, in the house, cleaning while the other guys are outside. Then my mom started teaching me other things like the stew, then the veggies. And I remember I used to like cutting the pumpkin, butter knife
from scratch.
Yeah, like it's like a sacha.
Yes,
you enjoy that thing. Like, hey,
sacha being a saw.
Yeah, yes. I'm doing it better than her.
Yes,
and with the pumpkin, I used to put in so much sugar that is so sweet, almost like you eat a stock sweet. You see?
Did you also add butter to your pumpkin?
Yes.
That's the way pumpkin's supposed to be.
And it's so soft.
When this was happening in your mind as a young child, what did you think you were going to be doing with your life when you got older? Because many people, I get it, you'll be like, yeah, I'll be a doctor, but I love cooking. Well, what was it for you?
For me, I wanted to be a mechanic. My father, he likes fixing.
Yes.
Everything he fixes himself.
Yes.
So he always fixed cars. You see, we had a Honda, a black Honda. He always fixed it outside the house. And I was always with him when I'm done with cleaning in the morning. Cause it was just, what can I call it? In the morning, you wake up, you do the cleaning in the house, you do the windows, then you go outside to work with dad. Now we're fixing a car, an engine. And you know how, emotional it becomes. You strip the engine off.
Yes.
You put everything back on. Then the engine runs. You're like, wow, I'm an engineer.
Yes.
So yeah, I loved it. I wanted to do it.
Yes.
But one time in church, so I'm from Wesel. I'm a Wesel. The guild. So we had a guild just before Good Friday. So they asked me to cook. I was like, will I do it? Let me do it. I was cooking for the youth, for guild. We call them guild. You know, the ones with the white shirts and the blue jackets?
Yes.
So I was cooking for guild.
And that's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. So I cook overnight, took the food to church. Now, I was a bit scared. But the feedback was so big. I was like, I can cook. Yeah? Ladies. Yeah, so that's the guy that cooked. Hey, come here. I'm like, guys, I cook.
Yes.
You see, so the love actually started from there. Then I started trying other things, you know, like when my parents are away, we cook other things. We make ribs, we make chips, you know, spike oil is just something nice, you see. Yeah, then from there on, I started knowing that, you know what, I want to own, in fact, in the beginning, I wanted to own something like Manamela.
Oh, so Manamela is a spot. It's not a shopping complex. It's almost like...
Kospoto.
Yes, Kospoto. Yeah. I don't know how to explain it, but...
Yeah.
But my dad had a bottle store there. Then there was like a butchery there and then another place as well. If you're from Soshanguve, you'll know exactly what we're talking about. When you looked at a spot like that, Manamela, why was it something you were admiring? And I know for many young black kids in particular, in our township areas, seeing black people owning things, running businesses was such a big deal for us. But why was it so special for you?
Every time we drove past there, people were happy. They're always laughing. And you know, whenever you drive past a place where people are laughing, you're thinking, hey, the person that owns the place is giving them something to love, you know? I think as I grew up, I saw other establishments like Short Left. It's also in the same street, just about a few houses away. Then other places came up. Now I wanted to go into the restaurant business now. You know, I wanted to make everyone smile.
Yes.
Make people eat, you know, and from there on, I started, going towards that direction. But first, my first business was actually I was delivering toilets, VIP toilets. I delivered toilets. I realized that I can't.
What was
too much work. You're sleeping, they're phoning, hey, Abuti, the toilet is blocked. You're like, no.
I never thought about VIP toilets being that much work.
Yeah, you'll be surprised.
Then, you know, because people always, when they think about, I need to tabalaza, you're like, let me buy stuff I can rent out.
Yeah, yes.
You know, and because we know, especially Kokasi, toilets are needed all the time. Every weekend there's funerals, yes, there's weddings. So I, in my mind, would be like, yo, actually you could make some nice money there.
Exactly.
But
they phone you. After you left, you leave the toilet for about 15 minutes. They phone you, the toilet is blocked. Okay, you go back. Now you need to get your gloves. Oh, the long gloves. Then you do what you do. Yes. You're a specialist.
Yes.
Then I realized that, you know what, let me go closer to what I really like. This one I like, but you know, it will be at the back of the restaurant. Mm. Then I went into ice. I sold ice. Mm. The ice business was fine, but there's too much work. The packing.
I love that all your businesses you're saying, there's too much.
Remember, it's an idea in the beginning. Yes. Everyone's talking about it. Hey, Jody, I see. Hey, you're going to make money there. Yeah. Then you're like, yeah, I must do it. When you get there, you've got the scoop. You need to put in each and every bag, about 100 bags in the morning. 100 bags in the afternoon, 100 bags before you go to bed. Every day, you can't hire anyone just to work for about an hour.
Yes.
Then during that time, you deliver. You get to Relebukhile, I'm here to deliver ice. Yeah, but me, I can give you 4 rand for one bag. They're not happening now. But Relebukhile is selling it for 20 rand. And serious, that's what happens.
The reason I'm laughing is because for anybody who has found themselves in a situation where you're trying to hustle, right?
Yeah.
And you'll hear, or no, I could do with this service. And you think, can't be too much work until you're in it. And then you realize this is serious. So I'm just laughing at how stressful, overwhelming it can be.
Yeah.
Where you might work the whole day. And then you're left with 40 rand maybe, and you're like, was this even worth the work that I did? So ice business was not a great one for you.
Ice business was a tough one with the expenses of electricity.
And backup power.
Yeah, it's stressful. So I decided, you know what? And that was just after load shedding started, and someone mentioned that load shedding is not going anywhere. You must live with it.
Yes.
I was like, I love and these. You know, then I decided, you know, let me go the butchery way. That's easy. You put the meat on the display fridge. You stand there. You smile when the Relebukhile comes.
Yes.
And you're like, hi, how are you? We want meat. Hey, but what's your scale? And now you've got other problems. But you soldier on. Now you're like, I can't give up 4 times.
So wait. So let's fast forward now.
Mm.
You tried all these things. You basically found yourself back at your first love, which is cooking.
Yeah.
How did you end up going to Boksburg, and how did you choose what people are going to want? Because the market we know is saturated.
Yeah.
Every township you go to, every place you go to, you can say, where can I find this? And they'll say, Komangmang.
Like in Sosha, they say, go Mamkondo, right? So we don't have that in Boksburg. So when in fact I was working now, and I was working for this other company as well as a manager.
Mm.
But then one day I woke up and I realized that, you know what? If I don't do this, someone else will do it. And if that person does it, I'm going to slap myself.
Mm.
Let me resign. Let me start it. People are going to laugh at me. It's fine. And you know, when you make such a move, you feel like it's the best decision you've made.
Mm.
It's like when you're leaving at work, people are jealous. I'm like, you know, but once you leave, it's painful. You're like, what did I do, Mara?
Yes.
You see? But then I started selling chips, the chips we ate earlier on, the peri-peri chips from Nelspruit. That's what we sold. But I had a plan of selling everything, so I wanted to introduce bits by bits, you know. I didn't want to overwhelm myself. Then we introduced Mukhodu. We started selling Mukhodu. People started knowing. But you know, those people with 5 rand short. I'm 5 rand short, but I want to buy.
Yes.
And you are a neighbor with your competition. So you're like, oh, no, it's fine. You take the money.
Yes.
You know? Then we introduced Nhloko. Then we introduced other meals as well.
Mm.
Then people started knowing us. Then we started going to TikTok, Facebook, Insta. Then people started coming now. Where are you? And the address is there, but people are like, where are you?
Yeah. So let's start then on that note. Where are you exactly? And then let's talk about what you served us, which I think was such a perfect menu selection because it really gave the team and I an opportunity to try everything. So where exactly are you? Go Boksburg.
Okay. We're 5 minutes away from Boksburg. We are at the road that's coming from Jet Park Road. So it's Jet Park Road. When you cross the freeway, the N12, it splits, it changes into Pretoria Road. We are right across the roadhouse. They call the place Sonap. We there.
And if you head over to the socials, Hungover Boksburg, you'll be able to see all of the details there, pictures of the food, videos of the food. So let's talk the menu of what you served for us today.
Yeah.
You gave us a full hungover platter.
Yeah.
How many is that platter supposed to feed? Because ke na my khoho, ke hard bori, mohodu, you know, you had your own chili mix in the middle, khona le acha, khona le papa. It was such a mix of what feels like home, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So okay, just to confirm, that was mohodu, mhlogo, hard bori, mnina, ox. Then we also
as in cow heels. Yes, cow heels, and then chicken intestines with chicken feet.
Yeah.
Okay. It was such a nice selection.
Yeah.
You are very generous with your chili.
Yeah, no, I wanted you guys to eat it. I know you don't like spicy stuff, but I wanted you to eat it. Because the chilies is the main weapon in the business.
Yes.
People come for the chilies. So that's how we actually known in Boksburg. So that meal, when you're asking me earlier on, it can feed up to 10 people. It comes with 5 paps. The paps I prepared today was, you know, those ones are for us most. It's not for Abel, and you know, Abel wants that big one, the one we serve at the shop.
Yes.
Yeah, so it comes with 5 paps. It's for 10 people. It has the chilies, the Nespray chilies.
Yes.
There's acha as well. So it's good for morning after you've had a fun night.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Then in the morning, you don't want to do anything. You just want to eat and have a sip of khamer. Then after that, go sleep.
Why must people come dine, go hangover?
Okay. Hangover has so we've got a very good selected taste. I think so far, you'll agree with me, we've got the best food, we've got the best mohodu and best nyamanhloko in Boksburg. No one beats us there. That's the most selling. We've got a very nice dining area at the back. There's trees. You must just go into our page and check. So you can imagine in the morning when it's hot, you're sitting under the tree.
So you never got manamela, but you got something even better.
Are we going there?
Yeah.
Never forget your dream.
Yes, never forget your dream.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I just want to thank you so much for coming through, sharing your story. There's some messages. Tam Sankam Lilo says, ice and toilet business, no go area, too much work. Another one says, oh, I love your guest, so authentic. Paula says, I love your guest storytelling. I want to eat at his restaurant just to hear him speak. And just so much great feedback. Lebon the team, your guest, he made my day. I'm in stitches. He's got a gift of making people laugh. Hoping he does this to his clients. Hope he can come more often. Too much work. And I'm with you on that one. Guys, find things that you love because it will never feel like work.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Homeboy wa ka wa ko socials.
Why is?
Sure.
Thank you, sir.